I'd ever forget to flip that switch, we'd be in some real trouble. Of course, they would notify me. Sam is up in the skybox there, and then we've got Brian and Deborah back here recording, so this can go on the internet to 88 countries all over the world, and we're thankful that we can get these messages out because the time is short. Amen. We are now going to sing that chorus, "Keep on Walking by Faith." That's kind of our theme song, so let's sing it together. And then we're going into Acts chapter 8, and then numerous other places as well. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. One more time. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise His holy name. Give the Lord a hand praise today. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It is good to get excited about the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you think about the enthusiasm that we can have in the Spirit of God. In fact, the word enthusiasm comes from the word theonoustos, which is a Greek word that means God breathed. God breathed. Theonoustos. God breathed. And from that we get the word enthusiasm. And it does produce enthusiasm. I'm excited about the fact that our Lord is coming again, that His Word tells us so much about it, and that we see all the signs unfolding all around us. Unmistakably, we are the last generation. Unmistakably, the Lord is about to come. And you know, there is a great mystery at work in the world today. A powerful mystery. And it's a mystery of iniquity. And we're going to title this message today, "The Bond of Iniquity." And I think it will help us to understand some things. Because you see, the whole world lies in wickedness. The world is in a state of iniquity. And as long as you are in iniquity, and that's all you understand is iniquity, you will never be able to recognize truth. If you are in the truth, you will always recognize iniquity. Because it is the truth that will make you free, according to the words of Jesus. And so the reason people cannot recognize what iniquity is, see, there are all kinds of religions, all kinds of religious movements and persuasions. Of course, one of the largest is Roman Catholicism, and people there are so dedicated, they'll pray for hours in front of a statue with little beads and so forth. They are dedicated, but they are in the bond of iniquity. See, iniquity is not a specific sin. Iniquity is not the same thing as sin. Iniquity is the condition of the heart that produces specific acts of sin. You have to have iniquity in the heart first in order to sin. Iniquity is rebellion. Iniquity is self-will. Iniquity is as the sin of witchcraft. Iniquity produces the specific actions of sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law, but iniquity is the condition of the heart. A heart that is deceived. A heart that is in bondage. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, beginning with the 14th verse, verse 14. And we're going to examine this subject today. First, I would like to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, we are so helpless without Thee. And, O Lord, here we are with Thy Word before us, gathered together, though but a few, a remnant, O Lord, that Thou hast called out. And we love Thy Word, and I pray that Thou wouldst help us to understand it. And, O Lord, that we would be quickened by it and made alive in the Holy Ghost. Because the time is short, the days are evil, Thy coming is at hand. So, precious Lord Jesus, we call upon Thee now, asking that Thou wouldst sweep over our souls, pour out the Holy Ghost upon us, because it's by Thy Spirit that we live. And in Thee we live and move and have our being. So, Lord, now lead us by Thy Spirit in Thy Word, and let Thy Word come alive within us, that it would quicken us and make us ready for the hours and days ahead, though they be very few. And I pray now, O God, that Thou wouldst strengthen our faith. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out, made powerless, O Lord, in Thy presence. And let Thy Spirit take complete control, for we love Thee, Lord, and we thank Thee, O God, for suffering and dying for us on the cross of Calvary, and for Thy burial, and especially for Thy resurrection, whereby we are made alive. So, Lord, let Thy Word now be alive within us, and let Thy name be glorified above all things. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, we find a certain situation arising that requires attention. It says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." Now, of course, the people of Samaria were not strictly a Jewish people, but they were mixed with other nations. And that's why those devout Jews, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribes, those are those powerful nationalistic feelings, and that pride had nothing to do with Samaritans, because they were considered racially incorrect. And so they wouldn't have anything, any doings with them at all, any dealings whatsoever. And so Samaria, it says, received the word of God. That's a wonderful thing when you do that. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There are many people who will not receive the word of God. They'll sit in churches, but they'll not receive the word of God. They'll join religions, but not receive the word of God. They'll be persuaded of all kinds of things and have fellowship and membership and whatever, but they will not receive the word of God. Why? Because in the first place, in most places, it isn't even taught or preached. But even if it were, what it does is the word of God is always going to be an intrusion in your life. Always. It's meant to be that way. Why? The Word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it goes right down, the Bible says, into the joints and the marrow of the bone. That's how deep it cuts. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It'll tear you apart. It'll turn you upside down and inside out. It's supposed to do that. We don't come here to have our ears tickled. We don't come here to be stroked and patted on the back and say you're a wonderful person, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I understand that a lot of people don't like anointed preaching because it does that. It digs down deep. And most of what the world is into today is self-compliment and everybody, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. Isn't this a wonderful little euphoria to be in? But we must face the reality that Jesus is coming, that sin will be judged, that all things will be discerned and brought to light. And so we come to the throne of God for His mercy and grace, and we find salvation there. Now, Samaria had received the Word of God. Now they sent unto them Peter and John. Why? Peter in particular, because something happened to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus told Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Notice, when you get truth, it's never discovered, it's never figured out, it's never calculated, it is revealed. Truth comes from God. You can't find it. You can't produce it. You can't even assimilate it without the touch of God. Do you see the predicament the world is in today? The Bible says, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? You don't get it through learning. You get it because it's revealed from God above. And so, when Peter answered the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Or who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is when Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, the son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know what that means? Hell can't prevail against the attack of the church. I have people write me letters all the time and contact me saying, "Oh, I'm so oppressed. I am so tormented. There's demons chasing me all the time. They're getting me down. They're dragging me down." Why don't you turn around and fight? Why don't you call in the name of the Lord and go after them? Come on. We're not backed into a corner, and this thing was not done in a corner, according to the Word of God. My Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And if you're worried about that, you can also read where it says nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you are close to God and you've sought the Lord, you don't have fear. It goes. I don't know how it works exactly, but God takes it. I don't have to know the mechanics of it. And you'll never know the mechanics of the Spirit because the Spirit of God is not mechanical. It's a flowing, glorious, victorious power from heaven that a lot of people are trying to avoid. Tracts are written against the Holy Ghost. Books are written against the Holy Ghost. Videos are written against the Holy Ghost. Because there are men who are void of the Spirit trying to run religions and don't know the first thing about God, and so they end up with all kinds of paganism, all kinds of traditionalism, and all kinds of ungodly things that come flowing in, and they produce a religion. It is possible to make a religion without God. It's been done. And they're everywhere. And all of it is in the bond of iniquity. Watch what happens here. Peter was called, and John, but Peter had a special gift and anointing from God. He had the keys to the kingdom. Do you remember him using them on the day of Pentecost? Remember how the big crowd out there, when they saw the Holy Ghost come down, and believe me, they saw it and they heard it. Some people say, "Well, I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. I just, nothing happened, but I just kind of, I knew, you know, oh yeah, I came to this knowledge that, hey, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to know it, and everybody around you is going to know it, and your life is going to change dramatically when the power of God comes down. There's no two ways about it." Come on. You can receive the Word of God, and that's good, and God is with you. He said, "I am with you, but I shall be in you." There's a difference. Now, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, answered their question. When they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." That was his answer. It doesn't match with what Billy Graham says, or Kenneth Copeland, or the rest of the crowd. Boy, what would Billy Graham's answer have been if he had been there that day? Men and brethren, what should we do? Nothing! Just lift your hand! That's all there is to it. As churches will say, baptism, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll have, sure, we'll get you wet. You don't need it, but hey, if it's commanded, it's commanded. A command is a command, folks. In Acts chapter 10, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I'm just trying to give it straight from the book. It's the only safe thing to do. Otherwise, you're trusting in something else. And we must have it straight from the book. And so, Peter had the keys to the kingdom. It's he that opened the door with that answer. And subsequently, what happened because of that answer on the day of Pentecost. And then, in Acts chapter 8, which is where we are right now, we find Peter is called once again because he's opening the doors this time to the Samaritans. All right? Later on in chapter 10, it's Peter again, this time opening the door to the Gentiles. Those in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the world, or of the earth. It was Peter who had to use those keys after that. Of course, they all preach the same thing. And then after that, it's everywhere. It happens everywhere the gospel is preached. You know what that tells me? The gospel's not being preached much anymore. Do you realize how far gone this world is? And I'm talking about the so-called Christian world. It is about gone. It is fried. It is cooked. It's time to say sayonara to the whole bunch. Come on. They are so given over. They're locked in with their state. They're signed up with a 501c3. They will not speak against certain things. They'll put a sign up, pride in my pulpit. They won't preach about Sodom and Gomorrah. They won't preach about anything that might offend anybody. In fact, what the Internal Revenue Service says, this 501c3 thing, and I said that on purpose because it fits, what they will do is they'll say, you cannot speak against public policy. Would anybody care to tell me what public policy is? What is the policy of the public? It's the whorehouses, it's the taverns, it's the pornography shops, it's all the evil and sin and wickedness. That's public policy, and you can't speak against public policy or they'll pull your tax exemption out. You know, you don't even have to sign up for it. I wish preachers would realize that. I checked with my CPA. He said, no, you don't have to sign up for that. He said, you're still tax exempt. Very few people know that. If you're holding services and you're preaching the gospel, and you fit their qualifications of the church, you have to be holding meetings, have to be functioning as a church and so forth. Now I realize they can manufacture anything they want if they want to come against you. But I'm just saying that you don't have, it's a myth. You don't have to sign up for that. And if you do, you're agreeing to not speak against anything offensive that would offend any of the public. And now, with these queers, and I'm calling them what they are, what they're doing, they're becoming more organized and militant, and they are making they got a new program started where they're going to come into the churches just to be there, just to irritate. Just go into all the different churches, especially those that speak against them. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I don't think they're going to sit here long because the power of God will come down. And one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to repent or they're going to get the devils knocked out of them. Come on. Amen. Amen. But anyway, here you have, and I'm just telling you what I believe from the Word of God here. Now, you have Peter and John coming to Samaria. They had received the Word. Verse 15 says, who when they were come down, prayed for them. What did they ask for? That they might receive the Holy Ghost. You don't necessarily automatically receive the Holy Ghost when you receive the Word. You can, but it doesn't always happen just like that. All right? Here, obviously, they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. But they had received the Word. And that's good. It says in verse 16, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them." Not one of them had received the Holy Ghost. Not one. "Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know what happened in chapter 10? They received the Holy Ghost while Peter was preaching, and afterward he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." They received the Word, and of course they would have repented at that point. When you receive the Word of God, you're going to repent. Those two things do go together. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and now, subsequently, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Again, something that multitudes would stand up against. See, in the Roman Catholic system, they believe that they can impart the Holy Ghost. They can give you the Spirit, you know, through the sacraments. They get 7 sacraments that they do. And by means of the sacraments, you have whatever measure of the Holy Ghost they decide they're going to put upon you. Of course, depending on if it's a high mass, a low mass, or whatever it is. They have all these different degrees of things going on in this mystery religion. But notice what happened here. They received the Holy Ghost, and then in verse 18, it says, "And when Simon..." Now this Simon was a sorcerer. But he had repented. But there was still something wrong with him. Simon was a sorcerer. That word sorcery, of course, we sometimes equate with witchcraft. And there's a lot of that around. But sorcery is something else. It comes from the word pharmakia, which means one who dispenses drugs for occult purposes. Now, I can tell you that many, many, many drugs today, whether they be prescription or not, are dispensed for occult purposes. There are so many mind-bending drugs. Folks, we live in a society that has become bewitched. It is everywhere. Last night I was in the grocery store after prayer meeting. I stopped in to pick up a few things. And I looked over and I saw, in fact, I brought one of these with me. I remembered to do this. I looked over at the end cap there in the store, and we've all heard of Dots, you know, the candy Dots, those fruit-flavored things. Well, they've got a new series, obviously, and this, it's called Dots Elements. This one happens to be air. There's earth, air, fire, and water. And a little bit witchy looking. You can see the clouds, and it's kind of a big black looming. And the dots even aren't even black inside there. But here in the back it shows the other one. Cinnamon is the fire. Water is green tea flavored. And earth is pomegranate flavored. You know, this pomegranate thing has really been picking up steam, hasn't it? They got pomegranate jelly bellies. They got pomegranate this and pomegranate that. And now they got pomegranate dots named after the 4 elements. And of course, the 5th element is spirit. A witch would tell you that there's earth, wind, water, fire, and spirit. That those are the 5 points on the pentacle, or 5-pointed star. And of course, if you invert that star with the 2 points up, like they have done with the Democratic National Convention this year, and with the Republican National Convention, is you get the elephant with the 2 points, stars the 2 points up, and the donkey, star with the 2 points up. That, of course, represents the horned hunter of the night. Baphomet, Goat of Mendez, and so forth. So this stuff is everywhere you look. How did it get like this? There's such an appetite for the occult. Such an appetite for anything that is against God. And Simon, here it tells us, was a sorcerer. One who dispenses drugs. See, they would give people these little white powders and they'd get all looped up and high and, ooh, this guy's got power. And it was some kind of a drug. They'd mix things and concoct things. And one pharmacist at Waupun Prison, I used to work there for a little while, just filled in for somebody. And this pharmacist said, I saw him mixing something and It had belladonna in it. And I said, belladonna is deadly poison. And John, the pharmacist there, said, oh, there's a little poison in all medicine. He said, it's got to have poison in it. And he wasn't joking. Your body has to be at least strong enough to handle the poison of what they're trying to give you to help you. And I'll show you how far we have gone backward in just a little while when we go back into Ezekiel, because that which we're going to look at in Ezekiel, comparing it with today, it fits like a hand in a glove. But we find here in Acts chapter 8 that Simon, verse 18, when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. You know, it just occurred to me, he might have been the very first Catholic ever. Huh? You know, when you try to buy the gift of God with money or sell the gift of God for money, whatever, buying and selling the gifts of God, don't they do that? They buy and they sell indulgences, they sell holy water, they sell beads, they sell pictures of the Pope so people can kiss the little ring on the cardboard thing, and all that kind of. Talked to a former Catholic the other day. He said when he read that in my newsletter about New York, how they line up because there's a cardboard replica of the Pope and they line up for blocks to kiss the ring on the cardboard replica. He said he almost fell off his chair laughing. He said, I couldn't believe it. Anybody would do something like that. But you see, what it is, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. I mean, what it is there is a deceptive spirit that pulls these people and corrals them, and they are bound by iniquity. It's a bondage, folks. They're in bondage. They're not free. That's why years ago when Dr. Martin Luther was preaching, and of course he didn't have it all, but he had a lot more than what he came out of, and he just dragged a little of that with him. That was the problem. But that's why people love to listen to him, because he preached that liberty and that freedom in Jesus Christ, that we're not bound, we're made free by the truth. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not that of works, lest any man should boast. But I never know where to look next, and I'm seeing all this occultism. You know, when I saw this crazy thing in the store, I thought, now what's this? I looked and I saw dots, elements. Elements. And then I looked and said air. And I looked on the back, earth, wind, water, and fire, that they've got these different... Folks, that's witchcraft. And it's just a... You know, it's another, and they're all this weird, spooky-looking, black, blue, weirdo type of a box. See, people that work for these companies are into occultism. And when they design logos and they write commercials, they do advertising, it's all going to be occult. No wonder people can't sleep at night. They're troubled by spirits. They don't have the Lord. And they lay down there and it doesn't work. They can't get to sleep. And they go and talk to Dr. Jekyll and his assistant, Mr. Hyde. And they say, what am I going to do? And they give him this Lunesta, you know. And so they take this Lunesta. Because the commercial shows this silver butterfly flying down from the moon and fluttering around and through the window and hovering right over your nose and putting you to sleep. And Lunesta is another name for moon goddess. Lunesta. So you find in the side effects, people have found themselves waking up driving their car. Or waking up doing perverted things. Or waking up walking somewhere outside. And that's when they wake up. Now, anything that'll make you do something like that, there's something wrong somewhere. But Simon was a sorcerer, and he supposedly was a convert. But there was a problem here. So he wanted that power. Give me also this power. He offered them money. Kenneth Copeland would have took it. Okay. A lot of people would have taken. These televangelists seem a little bit hungry for the loot. They'll sell whatever. There was an Assembly of God minister up north selling holy tennis shoes. He'd anoint them with oil. Nike, Adidas, anything you wanted. He'd anoint them. There, you can really have a spring in your step now. But they bring in big bucks. Holy tennis shoes. I had holy tennis shoes when I was a kid, but they had real holes in them. Those $2 jobs, you know, from JCPenney. I can't remember my mother one time walking out of the store with me. I can't believe the price of these tennis shoes, $3. Used to sit in the car with my dad. He'd pull in the Clark station on the edge of town and say, "Fill it up, Elmer, with high test." And the little bell would be ringing on the pump, and it had those little balls that would bounce around with the gas going through it, those old-fashioned pumps, you know, and he'd fill it up. That'd be $3. The thing was almost empty, $3 to fill it. And while he was filling it, he'd wash all the windows, check the air in the tires, check the radiator, check the battery terminals, make sure they were tight, and give you a free six-pack of Coke or some kind of mug or some gift besides. I think I'm safe in saying those days are gone. For $3, they wouldn't spit in your radiator. Come on, you can't buy a gallon of gas for $3. But here's Simon the sorcerer. "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." There are people who think so. Now he says, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps..." Notice the word perhaps. That's how serious this is. "If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Hear these words now. This is where we take our title from. "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Meaning you are bound by iniquity. Iniquity, a condition of the heart that produces sinful acts, many and manifold as they are. But you've got to have iniquity in the heart first. He had that, and Peter said he was bound by it. With that thought in mind, go with me for a moment to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we're going to follow through on this thought and elaborate on it a little bit. 2 Thessalonians 2, it says this, and here the Apostle Paul is speaking to people, trying to get a message across to them and to us regarding the coming of the Lord. He said something has to happen first before the Lord comes, but I can stand here today in the year 2008 and tell you that that which had to come first has come. It happened. It's not through happening yet, but it happened. For you see, there are many antichrists, many spirits of iniquity, and all of them are leading to one final antichrist. It's kind of interesting, you know. You've got all kinds of things going on in the world. It's ever changing. God breaks through sometimes with an earthquake, like in China, or a cyclone coming through Myanmar, which they named Daffodil, the flower of the underworld. You have God breaking through with an earthquake or a volcano or something. But other than that, the geopolitical structure of the world today is all framing a situation, making it ready for an antichrist, a one world leader, a dictator, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer. Remember during the Nazi regime, one Adolf Hitler, stood up and welded the people together with a concept of the fatherland. Der Vaterland. Remember? With his hand extended, watch these politicians. They have devils in them. And they will, even involuntarily, it's impulse, they'll lift their hands like this. I've seen Hillary do it. I've seen George Bush do it. I've seen Obama do it. I've seen McCain do it. And they'll put their hand up in that Hitlerian salute. Look at some of the pictures. Don't miss a thing. It's quite a panorama. It's that, and of course, when they salute, they do their El Cornuno, you know, with the two fingers. They always are doing it with their left hand, even though they're right-handed. The left hand represents, in witchcraft, malediction, the opposite of blessing, life force. When I used to read palms years ago when I was in the occult, we always said that the left hand was life force and the right hand was life progress. And there was a formula that you used in looking at the various lines and comparing them with what's above, you know, the stars and planets and all that kind of stuff, all involved in that. These people live for that today, and they live by that today. The world is taken over with a religion called witchcraft, though it have many other symbols. Churches today, for the most part, are witchcraft with a cross on the top or a crescent moon on the top, whether it be a synagogue or whether it be a mosque or anything else. You know, there was years ago they had Al Gore was kind of in a hot spot because hot spot, global warming, whatever. Notice the temperatures lately. It must be that global warming, right? Years ago, Al Gore was in a hot spot because he had all this money coming in, and it came through, all these contributions came through this Buddhist temple in California. And I didn't, you know, I used to know that, I always knew, I guess, they had Buddhists had monks, but I didn't know they had the equivalent of nuns. But anyway, all this money was coming through this, we're talking countless millions of dollars being laundered through this temple, and then the temple gave him a contribution, Al Gore. And then he said, oh, no, it wasn't like that at all, and he had all this denial and all this kind of stuff. That was just their money. They were trying to help out, and they believe in me and all this stuff. And what's really amazing is the name of the Buddhist temple was the Shi Lai Temple. All these nuns came to his defense, the Shi Lai Temple. Yeah, some things fit, don't they? But we know that, and we're going to see this in a minute here, that there are many, many, many and varied forms of Antichrist, but all of them dovetail together to produce one man at the end to rise up and take his place. And this is what we're reading about right now. And in a minute, I'll tie this together with what we just heard from the book of Acts. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Many people are very soon shaken. He said, don't be that way. Or be troubled. What would trouble us? What would shake our minds? He tells us. Neither by spirit. Spirits try to trouble people. Did you ever discover that when you try to believe God for something, this doubt comes flooding in? And you have to fight it off? It's a spirit. Doubt is not, doubt's not a condition of mind. It is an attacking spirit. Attack back with the blood of Jesus. With a certain things that you can refer to in the Word of God. Victorious things. He says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, phony letters, false Bibles. Are there any false Bibles out there? Notice how he says, as from us, as if it were from us, but it isn't. as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, and they'll try every means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. As I said before, I'll say it again, that falling away did come, but they are still falling away. In fact, the world today is in a religious free fall toward hell. There's no buoyancy there to even slow it down. There shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, man of sin, that's one, isn't it? How are you going to know him? Going to figure him out? No, he's going to be revealed. What sort of things, and by the way, son of perdition means son of eternal damnation. Now the world's going to look at this as the answer man, the great Messiah, the great man who's going to put it all together and unify all the religions, and everybody will have this kind of a harmony. There will be a harmonic convergence of people, just as there has been of planets at certain times. And everybody will get together and have a golden age, a utopia of euphoria, where we'll share the land and we'll all be one, and everybody will be all equal and have equal things. And remember the songs? Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell beneath us, above us only sky. Remember? And how John Lennon wrote that song with the piano playing there and to catch people in their emotions. And imagine no religion. No possessions. Everybody has everything else in common. You know, if they could ever achieve that, you know how long that would last until somebody had it all again? That's the way of evil man. Communism is a theory. It certainly doesn't work. It never has. Socialism doesn't work. Fabian socialism and Marxism and all these concepts have been proven to not work. In fact, no human government works at all. And of all the ideologies, democracy is the worst form of government on the face of the earth. That surprises some people. But democracy is mob rule. Democracy is what collectively all the people want. That's why it's no good. What do people want? Sin. Democracy has been defined as the worst form of government right in the U.S. Army Manual of 1917. U.S. Army Manual said democracy defined it as the worst form of government, always leading to chaos and anarchy. That's our own. They knew it back then. But what do they tell you today in the schools? And you listen to CNN. Oh, we live in a democracy. Democracy is wonderful. We went into Iraq and we gave them democracy. And as soon as we got there, we legalized prostitution and alcohol drinking. They never had it before. Somebody did those things before, they'd have killed them for it. But we brought the West into the East. The Occidental culture into the Oriental culture. We fixed them up. And now we've got a big embassy over there with over 600 apartments in it. Oh, it's got basketball courts, indoor and outdoor, and volleyball courts, Olympic-sized swimming pool, indoor. Oh, it is a marvel. It's one of the wonders of the modern world. We built it over there for nearly $1 billion. It's just now ready to open. And now, right there in Baghdad, near the Green Zone, they are building a Disney World. They're westernizing everything, aren't they? It's quite a setup. Meanwhile, the Middle East is ready to explode. President Bush has been over there with talking to the Israeli Knesset. While he was talking to the Israeli Knesset, the Pope, right at that time, was walking up his steps toward his throne for a special address. And while The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, George Walker Bush, he's called that. That's the title that the Israeli government gave him. The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. That title belongs to the president of the United States. That could be Barack Obama, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. That could be John McCain, the son of Cain. For McCain in Gaelic means son of Cain. The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. But anyway, right now it's George Bush, and he got up to address the Knesset. While he was standing there, the Pope stumbled at his throne and fell down. Had never happened before. They had to pick him up off the floor. Strange little things like that all mean something. As soon as Bush stood up there to speak to the Knesset, the Pope stumbles in front of his throne. The beast and the whore work together, don't they? But God is going to bring it all down quickly. By the way, you know, if people are so minded, they can go to hearing aid stores. We don't have any around here that I know of, but they're real big in quite a few of the states. And you can go to the Hearax store, and you can get a microchip implanted. They've gone retail. Applied Digital Solutions, VeriChip, has made it available now for $149. They're targeting the elderly because it contains all their health information and will signal the computer in the hospitals by satellite, no matter where they are in the whole world. If anything goes wrong, diabetic shock, heart problem, blood pressure problem, whatever, they come and get you. You don't have to call them. You don't even know they're coming. And they find you because that satellite will pinpoint the very block you're standing on, the restaurant you're sitting in, or whatever. Now, you can go and buy one right now. April 22nd, Hearax stores are offering these. They will implant it right into your arm for you. $149. They've gone retail with it. All of these things indicate to me the lateness of the hour. And now the Bush administration, through Michael Chertoff, has stated that they have now, they've been doing things before that they don't tell you about, but now they're announcing to you that they are using their new high-tech surveillance system on all American people. That Big Brother is now, in fact, watching you. And that they know by satellite, and through your, one of the ways they do it is through the cell phones. The United States has 210,000 cell phone towers that we know of. Others are hidden in church steeples. They've been paying churches to allow them to put the equipment in their steeples. And it's big money. But that system, if you have a cell phone, allows them to pinpoint you, where you are, to the very block, the corner you're standing on. Within 10 feet, they've got you. Whether you're in a restaurant, in your home, anywhere else, they know where you are. In a matter of nanoseconds. It's just instant. It's right there. They've got you. If they want to look you up, you're there. Now, people don't usually think about the fact that somebody's constantly watching. But they are. What this tells me is, and I don't say this to put fear in a terror in anybody. Yeah, the fear of the Lord, the respect of God, yes. But I want you to know what we're up against and what we're living in. These are signs that encourage me because I know the coming of the Lord cannot be far off. Amen. We've never, ever, ever, ever had it like this before. It's never been like this. Now, we know the Word of God tells us that there would be a falling away, a son of perdition. What would he do? Verse 4 says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God," and people out there are calling a lot of things God, "or that is worshipped," and they're worshipping a lot of things. "So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." A man showing himself to be God. Is there a man in the world today, have there been men in the world, that show themselves to be God, that sit in temples claiming this is the temple of God, I am God, forget about worshiping all other things, all worship needs to focus on me. Now, I want to hold my page here, but I want to go back just a little bit to a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians, because the Apostle Paul had this to say. In 1 Corinthians 8:4, he said, "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols." Ever been in a Chinese restaurant? They offer everything in there to idols before they put it out in the buffet. They have a token amount of everything in front of that big statue of Buddha. And then you're sitting there and you're eating things sacrificed to idols. The placemat, they'll have the Chinese zodiac. And they offer everything to those idols, including the cat that they serve. Feline mignon, if you want to call it. I don't know, they put all kinds of spices on it. And there's one Chinese restaurant here in town. They busted them for, they found all kinds of cat carcasses in the basement. People were missing their cats and they were serving the people here in Beaver Dam. It was that that meat on a stick with the teriyaki stuff on it or whatever, which is actually Japanese, but they doctor this stuff up, and people were eating that, and oh, what delicious food, what a buffet, woo, let's go back for some more. And they shut them down for 2 or 3 days, and they're back open again right away. And you know what? They'll keep doing it. That's what they prefer. I don't know how anybody, well, I've got a problem with the Oriental culture anyway. I don't know how anybody, they are the meanest people on the face of the earth by culture. I'm not being a racist, I'm saying it's their culture. They are the meanest people on the face of the earth because they're brought up like that. Can they be Christian? Yeah, it's possible for anybody, any race, to be a Christian. But it takes the call of God and it takes obeying the gospel. That's fair enough, isn't it? Now, but there are just some cultures that have sin ingrained in them. I know the Apostle Paul mentioned the Cretans, that they're always evil beasts and slow bellies. And he said, this witness is true. Some would have said, oh, you're a racist, speaking against the Cretans. He said, that's their culture. It's what they do and how they live. They need to come out of that. Okay? Somebody will send me a nasty letter on that one, I'll guarantee you. Because they won't understand it. You know what I found out? Words, I get a lot of nasty letters. I'm kind of getting used to it. Once I see it's real nasty, I don't even read it. And I never read a letter that doesn't have a return address or a name on it. If they're too much of a coward to put their name on it, I don't have time for them. I won't even read it. But anyway, he says, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Do you know that? One God! For though there be that are called gods, they call them gods, don't they? Whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, Krishna and Shiva and Vishnu and all pantheons of gods and goddesses, they're no gods. There's only one. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So he's saying there are people who are in a state of sincerity about their God, which is no God. They don't have the knowledge of the truth. I'll tell you that every day when people come to the Roman Catholic Mass, they're eating something sacrificed to an idol. Come on. You can't make any representation of God. Didn't the Lord say to Isaiah, "Unto what will you liken me?" Did he not say, "There is no other God, I know not any. There is none on my right hand, neither is there any on my left hand. There is no other God." Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. What are they telling us today? Oh, there's gods everywhere. God is in everything. He's in that tree. He's in those rocks. It's Mother Earth. The earth is your great mother, your alma mater, your bountiful mother. You go to college, you put it, spend your $13,000, you know what it is now in Wisconsin? $13,000 per year to go to college. $13,000. You can attend any one of the 13 campuses whose motto is Lumen Numen, the new light, with a rising sun in the east. Yeah. And when you finish, they give you a degree and a square hat and a robe with a hood. And now you have an alma mater, which means a bountiful mother. The university is your mother. The university represents the earth itself, your earth mother. They have insisted, when I was a kid, we spelled earth with a small e. Now they insist we capitalize it because the earth is an organism. It's alive. And human beings are parasites on the earth that are destroying it. That's why Maurice Strong of the United Nations said, "When I die, I want to come back again as a virus. I want to be reincarnated as a virus to kill as many human beings as I can to get them off from the face of my dear Mother Earth." Now, does that sound like warped thinking? If you think so, you're right. It's warped. And that's the way Satan operates. Now I hope I'm getting this across. I want to show you how near we are to the coming of the Lord and how much we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We've got to understand what's going on around us because they don't want you to. They want you to just think everything is getting better and everything is okay and they'll work it all out. The government will fix it up. You know, George Bush recently stated in a speech, he's over there in Saudi Arabia, unless he left by now. I saw him walking with this sheikh, you know, some people pronounce it a sheikh. And it's such a strange sight because they're strolling together and he's holding his hand. Is that picture still up there with the two of them with their lips right together? I had one on a bulletin, but you've seen it, or maybe it was the previous bulletin board. That could be. It's weird. But anyway, President Bush said, the problem with the gasoline, the prices and all that, he said, it's not because of the Saudis. It's not the government. He said, it's the consumers. They're demanding too much. The problem is the consumers. It's you and I. We're the problem. Did you ever hear them make the speeches and they'll say, "We are here to help the ordinary American." They want you to feel ordinary, just ordinary, because they're extraordinary. They're not ordinary. They have something within that gives them the divine right of their master, by their master, to rule over those who are less gifted. It's you and I, less gifted. Hey, they don't know what we've got. That may be the case with most of the world, but when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not less gifted. And they don't know what to do with you. They're actually afraid because they know the greatness of God. They'll never admit it. You can hear it in their songs if you listen carefully. I know that John Fogerty, when he wrote that song, "Who'll Stop the Rain," he was referring to the rain of God's Spirit. I can recognize that in a minute. These poor witches can't stop the pouring out of God's Spirit. They even went to the government for help, but they couldn't stop it. Who will stop the rain? Went down to Virginia seeking shelter from the storm. Got caught up in the fable. Watched the tower grow. 5-year plans and new deals wrapped in golden chains. Witches working with the government, wrapping their new deals in the spells of a golden chain, and witchcraft is a spell. And still I wonder, who will stop the rain? Still the rain kept pouring, falling on my ears. They can't stand the witness of a Christian. Who will stop the rain? Nobody will. God's going to keep raining His Spirit down until the trumpet sounds. And time stops. So we know that that man that would rise up, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. It has to come to the exact pinpoint time when he is revealed, and he will be. You'll know who he is. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. See, some people say, we're going to get all raptured out of here and carried off, so we'll never know who he is. We'll be up there anyway. Then how can this, if that's the case, then who is this information revealed to? God has to have people down here to reveal it to them. Will we rise to meet him in the air? Yep, we will. At the last trump. Period. End of story. No matter what Schofield says. We'll meet the Lord in the air at the last trump and not before. Unless he's taking you out individually early. That's okay too. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Notice, remember, we read about the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Iniquity is bondage. Mystery of iniquity. The word mystery is taken from one Greek word there that means really two things. Hidden truth of iniquity. What is really iniquity? Most people don't know. They don't recognize it. Only people with the truth can recognize iniquity. People in iniquity can never recognize truth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, by the way, that started way back there because once the Caesars fell, Rome fell, then religious Rome, the Pope, came in. And the Bishop of Rome became the Pope, the head of the church. When the Roman government was taken out of the way, the ecclesiastical deceptive power came in. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Won't that be a grand, glorious day? The brightness of God coming down, filling the skies. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh, what a world we live in. Very few can even hear what I'm saying today because they're so bound in iniquity. It just doesn't even soak in. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Watch this now. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Simon the sorcerer was bound by iniquity. People today are bound by iniquity. And I've only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to go back to show you one more condition that exists in these last days. to Ezekiel chapter 12. Now I want to move through this very quickly and verse 21. Ezekiel 12, 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel? Saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. People would tell you today, there's nothing going on, there's no prophecy fulfilled, every vision faileth. You know, it won't be for a long time yet. And God questions this. Why do people say that? Tell them, therefore, and I'm telling you today, tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. How would he do that? And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, that means the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. You hear some of these charismatic messages, interpretations, and all that. Oh, you are my wonderful people. Oh, you are my perfect people. Oh, you know, all this flowery stuff. I think that the world today is wide open for a whole lot of correction and rebuke and straight, powerful, as it is, messages from God. He says, verse 25, For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Watch this now. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. What's the Lord saying? Many prophecies were given long ago that are being fulfilled. But now he's saying in the last days, there will be prophecies that will both be given and fulfilled very quickly. And you won't have a chance to say, it's for a long time yet, because it'll come to pass. He's doing it so quickly. I was shocked and stunned when I was on the Staten Island ferry that day in July and walked out to the bow. Well, actually, it has two bows because it goes back and it's a slip. It has, you know, two fronts. But I was standing up there facing Manhattan going toward Whitehall, looking at the city, and I looked at those twin towers standing up there. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God came over me and tears filled my eyes, and I looked and those two towers burst into flames, and it was everywhere, and I heard people screaming and smoke and chaos and fire, and I saw it. And then when I got there, when we got into that city, I went up there in the South Tower, way up on the roof, and I walked around and prayed. And I couldn't tell anybody. The Lord told me not to say anything till I got home, and I waited. When I got home, I wrote it in my newsletter, and at that time we sent out about, I think, there were over 3,000 of them postmarked. I think it was the 25th or 26th of July, and I didn't think it would be as fast as it would, but in fact, I told my friend Bill Rock, this is coming down, Bill. That's all I could say. I couldn't tell him what I saw. Walking down that cement ramp there into the city, and then that day came on September 11th, 9/11/01. Of course, it filled the news as those towers fell straight down. A job that, with the full knowledge of George W. Bush and his co-conspirators, they had full knowledge of it. Cheney helped to orchestrate it. Down they came, falling straight down. And now, it's after careful examination, they're finding so much radioactivity in that area that they feel it had to be many nuclear blasts that brought those towers straight down. It is full of radiation underground there where those towers were. They nuked them and blamed it on an airplane. That's how vile and evil things are. But how fast did that vision and that prophecy come to pass? And you see, people got that newsletter a month before it happened, and they remembered, and they looked back, and People went scurrying for that newsletter that they'd already read, you know, and they read it again. And I watched it, and I saw it on the screen, and it was like seeing it for the second time as it was happening. How quickly prophecy can come to pass. God said the day would come when it would be so. You're not going to have a chance to say it's way off in the distance. He said, I'll perform it while you're still living. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Isn't that what they like to tell you? Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. If there's ever been a time when you and I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it's right now. And it's something that you and I as individuals must cry out to God for. And we need to seek the Lord for all things that are essential to us being right with Him. This is something that is incumbent upon every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ and who love the Word of God. Keep reaching out. Keep believing. Keep asking God for more of His spiritual power. He will give it. But you've got to believe. Amen. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, oh, we need Thee, Lord. Oh, how we need Thee, O God, to help us. And we look to Thee today, this morning, in this month of May, in the year 2008. We know not the hour, we know not the day of Thy coming. But we see the signs everywhere that we look. We know that Thou art the Savior, the healer, the wonder worker, He that doeth miracles, O God. And we pray for not only ourselves, but our families, our friends, our acquaintances, those that we see day by day. Lord, I pray for a great outpouring of Thy Spirit upon Thy remnant. For though they be but a few, yet, Lord, we need Thy Spirit to do Thy work. We continue to watch, we continue to pray in a deceived and depraved world. But Lord, Thou art able to give us victory. And so we look to Thee, Lord Jesus. Let eyes be opened, let understanding be given. For we know it will all come by being filled with Thy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We look to Thee now, Lord Jesus, in faith. Let the evil one not steal away the words that we heard, but let them be amplified within us, and all to the glory of Thy name. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Let Satan have no ability to hinder us or to steal any good thing from us. But Lord, we commend all that we are and all that we have into Thine almighty hands. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.